We're grateful to you, we're thankful to you, and we should be thankful every single day because you are God. But not only are you God, you're also our Father. Speak this morning, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. The adults have been on this series called Can You Hear Me Now? Which is about prayer. And last Sunday, we looked at wrestling with God and how Jacob wrestled with God. And what I said was that Jacob was terrified, but he was unyielding because he fought with God and he prevailed. But it was something important there because his name was changed. His name was changed from supplanter to somebody who wrestled with God. In part of our message, I talk about wrestling. Some of you are wrestling with God about some issues in your life. And I want to say, does not matter who caused your struggle. Could be caused by you yourself. Could be caused by circumstances. Could be caused by something outside of you. Could be caused by people you love. Doesn't matter. Stay in the fight. Do not walk away. When we are struggling, our tendency is to walk away or to try and find our own solutions by ourselves. Don't do that. Learn dependence on God. There's a third thing, though, because God wants to change our name. And some of you live by these names, not your given name, but you live by these names that more characterize how you deal with life. Wounded, outcast, lonely, afraid, failure, deceiver, defeated. Now, I'm so glad the men's group, we're meeting every Sunday afternoon. This is our small group, our sermon-based small group. And I had everybody go around to say, what was your given name? And some of them were very interesting. Some of them were like afraid. Some were about feeling overwhelmed. And that's okay, because this is who you are. But God doesn't want you to remain this way. Because we can live by, we can move this. Can move for the next slide. God gives us a new name. And the new name is beloved by God, beloved of God, confidence, overcomer, faithful, son of the Most High God, and daughter of the King. I would like us to listen to a song by Matthew West. And we'll just play it right now. Hello, my name. This is the name of the song. when you walk around as a child of the one true king, you walk around very differently than somebody who is defeated. However, before a name can be given, sometimes we have to go through pain, and sometimes a lot of pain. C.S. Lewis, a great writer, wrote a book called The Problem of Pain. And he says the following. He says, "We can ignore even pleasure, but pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world." We've been looking at prayer as struggling with God. And we saw how King Uzziah wanted to be a priest and he was punished severely with leprosy. We saw Isaiah, who saw God and then saw his own sin, the holiness of God, and saw his own sin. And then we saw Jacob, who thought that he had to deceive the world in order for him to get ahead. And what happens? We see that God says, "You're no longer called deceiver, you're no longer called supplanter, now you are called struggling, wrestling with God." Today we have a new character. And this is Hannah. Hannah's story is very interesting because she was in a lot of pain and crying out to God. So we'll read a little bit in 1 Samuel chapter 1. "There was a man named Elkanah who lived in Ramah, in the region of Zup, in the hill country of Ephraim. He was the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zup, of Ephraim. Elkanah had two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah did not. Each year, Elkanah would travel to Shiloh to worship and sacrifice to the Lord of Heaven's armies at the tabernacle. The priests of the Lord at that time were the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas. On the days Elkanah presented his sacrifice, he would give portions of meat to Peninnah and each of her children." Let me tell you a little bit about the background for this. This was after the period of the judges. But remember, the temple had not been built yet until King David. And then Solomon was the one who built it. But prior to this, they had a tabernacle. So they had a place to worship called, a high place called Shiloh. Now, you have to give a tenth of your produce at the time of this festival. But you cannot just bring your produce there. You have to convert your produce to money. And when you go up to the tabernacle, then you have to buy what is considered official animals to sacrifice. And so there are steps to do, and this is a ritual where the whole family is there. And once you get there, you buy the actual offerings that has to be given, and then from there, the animals are sacrificed. But here's the most important thing. Even though God takes all the offering, God hands us back to the people who are offering, who are giving the offering. And so the food now from the animals are given back to the families. And so we have your Elkanah, who had two wives. One was Peninnah, and one was Hannah. Peninnah had children, and so the distribution was more because she had children. Here's the pain. And though he loved Hannah, Elkanah would give her only one choice portion because the Lord had given her no children. So Peninnah would taunt Hannah and make fun of her because the Lord had kept her from having children. You know, this is a very difficult situation for Israel. At that time, because revelation was still very primitive at that time, people thought that blessings come from children. If you did not have children, if you were barren, you would really be taunted. You would really be looked down upon. And this was hard. This was hard for Hannah because she was the second wife, but then the other wife had children and she did not. It is interesting, if you look at Verse 5, he says, because the Lord had given her no children. Seems to be an act of God. Year after year, verse 7, it was the same. Peninnah would taunt Hannah as they went to the tabernacle. Each time, Hannah would be reduced to tears and would not even eat. Why are you crying, Hannah? Elkanah would say. Why aren't you eating? Why be downhearted just because you have no children? You have me. Isn't that better than having 10 sons? So let me talk about this for a while. You know, when people are suffering, there are really two tendencies that people have. Number one is to kick them when they're down, right? She didn't have any children, so the other wife just kind of made fun of her, taunted her, and really reduced her to tears. Sometimes we do that. We look at people and say, oh, why is she different from us? Why is he like that? Why is God not giving her any blessings? And so we tend to kick people when they're down. But then there's a second thing that we do, which is also totally wrong, is we try to explain their suffering. You see Elkanah, how he tried to comfort his wife. Am I not better than 10 sons? Now, you know that's not very helpful for Hannah, right? It's like, who cares about you? I don't have children. And I find that a lot of times Christians try to do that. We try to explain God to people. And I've heard some of the worst things that people have ever said. Some said to me, by the way, because we didn't have children either. And so I'm like, oh, you know what? Don't worry, you have time. I said, no, we're kind of past that age. Well, Abraham was 100 years old when he had his first child. Seriously, somebody actually said that to me. Thank you very much. That wasn't helpful at all. In fact, that was quite insulting. And I've heard people where younger, you know, children have died and said, oh, you know what? God wanted him more than you. Cruel, very cruel. So two things. Number one, when people are suffering, don't kick them. Number two, don't try to comfort them in the ways that Elkanah did or in the ways other people did. Whatever we do, we know that when people are in pain, they have one thing available, is that they have access to God. And we want to see that happen here. Now, the New American Translation, New American Standard Bible Translation is, she was very bitter. Hannah was very bitter of heart. One day she went up to pray. Eli the priest was sitting at his customary place beside the entrance of the tabernacle. Hannah was in deep anguish, crying bitterly, as she prayed to the Lord. She was bitter of soul. Her soul was really hurting. But she did one thing right. She brought all that pain to God. You know, when we are in pain, what do? We despise God. We say, oh, God is not working. You know, God is not helping. God's not doing anything for me. I better just take my pain and convert that to anger. And just be angry at everybody. I know sometimes they did that when we were going through this stuff too, you know, because it's like, I know people try to be nice to me, and sometimes when there were baby showers, they say, let's not invite pastor because, you know, he's going to be very sad when he goes to baby shower. I wanted to bless the children, but I can't because they didn't invite me. You see, what's happening is when we're in pain, God is our access. And Hannah brought all her pain to God. But let's ask this question. The Bible doesn't sugarcoat pain. Earlier we read that it was God who withheld Hannah from having children. Is God heartless? Is he trying to aggravate Hannah's pain? So that in one way he can kind of rope her in? I don't think so. When we are in pain, we ask these questions. Why me? Why am I going through this type of difficulty? Why are the others enjoying God so much and I am in pain? Let me say something about the human condition. Christians, and if this is news to you, I need to let you know, Christians suffer exactly in the same way as non-believers. It doesn't mean that when you receive Jesus, somehow you're in a bubble and everything always works for you. Christians suffer cancer. Christians fall off bikes. Christians get fired, get laid off. Christian children go astray. Christians die. If that's news for you, then you receive Jesus because that's not the reason why you receive Jesus. God's favor is not preventing pain from happening. You know, as you as parents, you know that. You try to stop your children from falling, but unless they fall and they know how to pick themselves up, they'll never ever walk properly, if you will. And if they scrape themselves and they don't know how to soothe themselves, or they don't know how to run to you, then how do they know how to handle pain? In fact, as Christians, sometimes we actually get more pain, right? I was in Costco on Wednesday getting some pies for our Thanksgiving party here, our Thanksgiving service here, and I was trying to get apple pie, and apple pie was $9.99. So I was going to get two, and one of them I saw was like $5.99. Wait, what happened to it? Oh, it says pumpkin pie. Apparently, you know how those plastic covers? Somebody had put a plastic cover, there's the wrong cover on it. Right? So I'm sure if anybody would just walk through, and it was a lot of people, would just walk through the check counter, I'm sure it would just ring through. But as Christians, what do? I went to the back, the kitchen, and I alerted the people and staff at the back. And when they saw that, two of them rushed out because there were so many people getting pies. They tried to make that correction. As Christians, we have to be honorable in the way we live. And I'm sure somebody can say, you know what? Thank God, Thanksgiving. What a wonderful blessing. $4 off. No, we don't do that. Because God doesn't stop us from going through pain. Because God works best in our pain. It's in pain where God is most meaningful. It's in pain that we are being transformed. Pain drove Hannah into the arms of God. And God will lead her gently through what might be to enlarge her capacity for joy. This is called divine surgery, and at times it's very painful. Now Hannah made a vow, verse 11, O Lord of heaven's armies, if you will look upon my sorrow and answer my prayer and give me a son, then I will give him back to you. He will be yours for his entire lifetime, and as a sign that he has been dedicated to the Lord, his hair will never be cut. Now, vows and prayers in the Bible are kind of rare, okay? And in fact, Deuteronomy 23 says the following. When you make a vow to the Lord your God, be prompt in fulfilling whatever you promised him. For the Lord your God demands that you promptly fulfill all your vows, or you will be guilty of sin. However, it is not a sin to refrain from making a vow. But once you have voluntarily made a vow, be careful to fulfill your promise to the Lord your God. So a vow is not required, but once you made a vow, you should actually fill it. But let's look at this vow that she made. Some people might look at this and say, is Hannah striking a bargain with God? If you give me a son, this is what I'm going to do. Now I know some of us do that. God, if you give me this, I'll do this for you, okay? If you let me win the lotto, I'm going to give you 10%. Somebody actually said that. Thank God he doesn't let us win, because that's not the way he works. But is this a bargain? No, it's not a bargain. It is born out of a heart that is truly desperate to understand God. May look like a bargain, but it's not. You know, I said this before, as pastors, we're called to pray for people. And I've been to situations where they're very difficult. You know, the health of a person, a loved one, is really struggling very hard. And sometimes it's even hopeless when we pray for them. But I've had loved ones tell me, you know, pastor, you know, if my husband, my wife, my brother, whatever, gets healed, you know, he's one of those guys that really, no matter where you are, he'll go to your church. You know, I always say, yeah, you know, because you know it's not going to happen. And sometimes God heals them magnificently. And guess what? They forget everything. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I ask God, God, would it be better if you don't heal them? Because then they would be pushed more into you. When they were in pain, they were so desperate for you. But now that they're out of pain, you just forget that vow. Vow is not easy. Because we always are flippant when we make vows. Oh God, if you just give me this job, you know, let me get this interview, then I'll do whatever. God doesn't work that way. But oftentimes it is our human thinking. God is always a merciful God. And when God healed the persons that I know that we prayed for, sometimes they want to pray for children. We pray for them, they have children. Then they forget God. But then I say, God is a merciful God. But then you say, you know what? They made a vow. They ought to be very careful. Because God may want to collect from them. But God always gives us another opportunity. And so those who are blessed after being prayed for with health, you pray that they will wake up to understand that it was only by the mercy of God that they were healed. And that they should not take advantage of that. That they should be very careful that they did make a vow to God, and that they better fulfill it. Because if they don't, something might happen to them that may even be worse. In Hannah's situation, she was very clear. Whatever God gives is going to be his immediately. The son that would be born is going to be given back to God. And we'll see in a little bit how that plays out. Here's another question to ask you. So, is the intensity of the prayer of Hannah and the answer of God by giving her a son, is that quote-unquote prayer achievement? It's like if you bang on the door hard enough, God's going to give it to you. If you show how bitter you are in your spirit, God's going to answer your prayer. No. Because God doesn't operate like that. Jesus says, the Heavenly Father already knows what you need. But why is prayer then so important? Because prayer and pain is our way of pushing into a relationship with God. If you never have any conflict with anybody, you don't have a relationship with them. Because it's always very superficial. When you start to give your opinion that contradicts your friend's opinion, and you work it out, is when the friendship deepens. This is the same in our relationship with God. When God answers our prayer, it's not considered a triumph in our part. That somehow God favors us because we prayed hard enough. Every single thing is a gift from God. When God doesn't answer, we learn more about his character than when God answers. But what God is wanting us is to say, you know what? I want you to know more about me. Regardless of whether you receive the gift or not. Whether you have your prayer answered or not. Can we recognize the giver more than the gift? Oftentimes we just look for the gift, and once we receive the gift, that's it, we walk away. How many times, I don't want you to raise your hand, some of you as parents, your kids have Christmas, and they have this wish list, and there's this one toy that you have to go to 5, 6 different places, and you have to trade your favors with other people to buy. Finally, you get it. You see the delight in the child's eyes. And how long does that last? Not very long. Not very long. In fact, they're looking to see how you do next year. The point is, God's after our heart. God's not after our being happy just because He answers our prayer. It's easy for us to get frustrated with God. But God wants our heart. We express our frustration. We complain about God. We are angry with God. We feel hopeless. We feel helpless. But instead of frustration, when we bring our bitter anguish to God, God shows us a bigger picture of who He is. We learn to exercise faith. We learn to trust. You know, God's always saying to us, subtly, can you trust me in this situation? I know I've talked to people, and I say, you better pray about it. And I said, I know, Pastor, you tell me to pray about it, but it seems like I'm not doing enough. So what would you like to do? Worry? Yeah, worry helps. But worry doesn't help. You know, nothing happens when you worry. But see, what God wants us is to push harder into God. God wants us to anchor our trust in Him. You see, the more we pray, the more we mature in prayer, God becomes more important than whatever He can do for me. I've said this about Romans 8:28. All things work together for good. It's conditional to those who love God. We are called to love Him. And then He will begin to show us who He is. Now I see what happens to Hannah. When Elkanah slept with Hannah, the Lord remembered her plea. And in due time, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, for she said, I asked the Lord for him. You know, as much pain as Hannah experienced, the result of this pain, the birth of Samuel, would be the transition of the whole Old Testament. It would be the beginning of prophets. It would be the beginning of kings. It would be the beginning of God intervening for the nation Israel through this one man, Samuel. It would be the end of corruption, at least at that time, of the priesthood through Eli and his two children. When the child was weaned, Hannah took him to the tabernacle in Shiloh. After sacrificing the bull, they brought the boy to Eli, the priest. Sir, do you remember me? Hannah asked. I'm the very woman who stood here several years ago praying to the Lord. I asked the Lord to give me this boy, and He has granted my request. Now I am giving him to the Lord, and he will belong to the Lord his whole life. And they worship the Lord there. When we ask God for something, what happens when we receive it? The tendency is to hoard it. God, I ask for a better job so that I can provide for my family. And God gives you a raise that's 20, 30%. And what do? Then we pull the money and we hoard the money. We say, this is mine. We pray and ask God for a child or children. God gives a child and children to us. And what do? Then we pull the children in and we say, they're mine. They're not God's anymore. I've actually seen that happen. where somebody prayed so much for a gift from God, and when God gave it to them, pulled it in. What happened? Where have you been? Oh, no, I'm just too busy. I'm just too busy with the child that God gave to me, and now it's my responsibility, no longer God's responsibility. Which is more important, the gift or the giver? That's why I say this is not a bargain with God. Hannah did not make a vow to say, you know what, if you give me this, I'll give you this. Because she was always clear. It was always about God. And in chapter 2, you will read Hannah's worship. It's a worship that says all about God, not about the gift. You know, when we pray, I know a lot of times when we pray, we want something from God. And that's perfectly understandable. But God says, I got something better than the gift. I got me, the giver. And I tell you, when you begin to see prayer as pursuing God, then God starts to handle the other things around you. Her pain was converted to joy. But listen, she lost her child. The gift that was given to her has been lost back to God. We don't have any record of Hannah saw Samuel again after this, because in chapter 3, it was Samuel's story continuing on. Nothing about the mom. But she was very clear. I'm asking God, but whatever he gives me is God's. What are you asking today? What are the things that you're struggling with today? There's a fine line between you struggling in order to keep, but you could be struggling in order to know God more. I've said this before. You know, when we struggled many years without children, I remember telling people, I said, you know, when I get to heaven, the first question I'm going to ask God is, God, why did you not give me any children? Believe me, I was so proud that I was going to ask that question of God, as if, you know, something big, right? But in reality, that is a selfish question. God's not obligated to give us anything. Until I start to really reflect on this, if God gives every good gift to us, and he withholds certain things to us, it's okay. So today, if you ask me, Pastor Mon, just what is the first question you will ask God when you get to heaven? My answer is, I have absolutely no question. When I see Jesus, everything makes sense. And I think this is where God wants us. God wants our heart more than the gift that we're asking. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that in this season of thanksgiving that we learn every good and perfect gift comes from God. God who wants to give us of himself much more than individual things. Help us, Lord, to see a bigger picture of who you are. Thank you for Hannah's story that we can learn. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand for the benediction. The Lord bless you, the Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Let's sing the doxology together. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Go with God.